what would you think about preaching on Sunday night, one Sunday night? And I said, no. And he misunderstood me, apparently. He put me on a list anyway. And so one day after services, Amber got in the car. She said, hey, did you see the list? And I said, what list? She said, you're on the list to preach in December. So I called, or I got in touch with Rick. I said, hey. I said, I really don't want to do this. And something to that effect. And he said, oh, you'll do fine. So he came back later and he said, look, if you really don't want to do it, I'll take you off the list. But he said, why don't you, he suggested doing a song service. And Amber suggested the same thing, said, you know, just do a song service. And since that's something I'm more comfortable in doing, that's what I decided to do tonight. But with all that being said, if you have any complaints about tonight, if you would just address them to Rick, sitting right there. And I want to welcome each of you here tonight, especially our visitors. Thank you for being here. If you have any questions or want to know more about what we do here at Timberland, please let us know. We'd be happy to sit down and visit with you from the scriptures about what we do. Singing is such an important part of our worship. And Reagan preached a lesson sometime back that he titled Sing Like Men. And he made a point during that lesson, and it's one that I haven't thought noticed before, that of the things that we do here on earth in our worship service, the one thing that we know for sure that we're also going to do in heaven is sing. I heard somebody say one time, if you don't enjoy singing, you won't enjoy heaven. And I believe that is very true. How can we hope to enjoy spending an eternity around the throne of God singing praises if you don't enjoy sitting in an auditorium singing four or five songs on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night? So I want to do a service tonight similar to what we were doing on our first Wednesday nights of the month pre-COVID. You know, often when I'm selecting songs for a service, then I'll get in touch with the speaker and ask them, hey, what are you preaching about? What's your lesson going to be about? So we can coordinate songs that'll go along with the lesson. But in a case like this, where I'm basically the speaker, I did what I think a lot of other people do, and that's they select songs, or they select a topic that maybe has to do with experience, things that they are experiencing in their life or things that they know others are experiencing. But sometimes, or maybe those are songs that are songs of encouragement, you know, for difficult times that we're going through, or songs of praise and over good news that we've received. But sometimes it's just a matter of selecting songs that I like, a topic that I enjoy singing songs about. I've said before that in the back of the songbook, there's a topical index with where the songs are categorized. And one of my favorite topics to pick from is heaven. I love a lot of those songs. So the challenge for me became, once Rick wouldn't let me out of this obligation, was picking a topic. This year, 2020, has been one for the history books. It has been a year of unprecedented. Right? I mean, how many times have you heard that word over the past year, unprecedented? I was listening to a radio program not too long ago, and somebody said this jokingly, but it's the truth, right? I just want to go back and live in some precedented times. This year has challenged us in many ways. I doubt that there's a single person in this room that can say that this year has not changed your life in some way, some shape, form, or fashion. This year has challenged us, has been different. For some, this year has challenged our health, our physical health, with the virus. For others, this year has been a challenge for us financially. But for me, just to be completely honest, this year has challenged my faith. And I don't mean that it's caused me to doubt God or to question whether or not he's in control of things, but it for sure has shaken my faith. And if I'm being honest, it has weakened me. And so I want to talk to us, or talk a little bit tonight, and we're going to sing some songs that have to do with faith. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to spend a little time in Matthew chapter 6. Beginning in verse 24. Matthew 6, verse 24, and we'll read down through verse 34. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not this life more than food, or the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This year was Sawyer's first year to get to go deer hunting with me. And, which, by the way, he got his first deer yesterday evening. And it's a challenge to video and hold a spotlight with one hand, or at the same time. But I'm picking. This year was Sawyer's first year to get to go hunting. And so what we would do is we'd sit in the deer stand to pass some time as we would play checkers on my phone. And at the top of the screen, there's an undo button. So if you make a move and you don't like it or whatever, you can click undo and it'll undo the move. And you can make a different one. If there was ever a year that needed an undo button, 2020 is a year for many of us, right? But the fact of the matter is we cannot change what has happened this year, what is still happening. We can't go back and undo COVID. We can't go back and undo the election. We can't stop a lot of the things that are in motion in this country. These things are out of our control. In the margin of my Bible here, I've got I like a wide margin Bible so I can take notes in it. I have six remember phrases in this section of Scripture, and I don't know where I got it from. I don't remember if I got it from Reagan or Harold or somebody that was visiting here, so I can't take credit for it. But I have six remember phrases in the margin here. Beginning in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Out to the side in the margin here, I have remember your master. I think most of us understand what the term multitasking is. If you're applying for a job, depending on the type of job that it is, you might be asking an interview, do you multitask well? Are you a good multitasker? Well, the truthful answer to everybody in this room is no. Okay? No one is a good multitasker. What they mean by the term multitasking is the brain's ability to process more than one task at a time. And what really happens is the brain is just switching from one task to the next. Okay? You can't really divide your thought process there. So take driving, for example. If you're driving down the road and you're focusing on the road in front of you and that's where your attention is, then you can avoid obstacles in the road. You can observe the speed limit. You can stop at a stop sign. you can keep your vehicle in the lane of traffic that you're driving in. But the moment that you introduce something else in there, like texting on your phone, the attention that you were giving the road is now suffering because of the attention that you're giving your phone. We can't do both. You truthfully cannot do both. You can only do one or the other. And when it comes to serving God, that is the same. We can't serve God and serve the world. You can do one or the other, but you cannot do them both. If you look down to verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? At the end of this verse, Jesus asks a question. Are you not of more value than they? Talking about these birds. And we know the answer to that, or we should know the answer to that. Are you not of more valuable, or are you not of more value than they? Here in the side I have, remember your worth to God. You mean something to God. I used to think that it would be pretty cool to be on a first name basis with a celebrity, right? Just to be on a one-on-one that's cool. You know, I know so-and-so. We're buddies. We hang out together. Does it not register with us sometimes that the God of creation knows who you are, knows you by name? He cares about you. He knows everything there is to know about you, and that you mean something to him. You're worth something to God. And not just worth something, you are worth him giving his son over. Remember your worth to God. Verse 27, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? The English Standard Version says add 1 hour to his lifespan. And out to the side here I have, remember your limited power. In the grand scheme of things, there's very little that I can do to change what's going on around me. My power is limited. But if we look to verse 30, now God, who so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Here I have, remember, God's unlimited power. I may not be able to change what's going on around me, but that God that cares for you, that knows you, that loves you, he has unlimited power. That doesn't mean that he's going to come in and change my circumstances for me. But it should give us all some peace of mind knowing that when the world is falling apart around you, God is still in control. Now if we'll read verse 31 through 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Here I have written, remember your priorities. Seek the kingdom. What is this life really about? So what Jesus is getting to, it's not about these physical things, worrying about tomorrow, worrying about this, that, or the other. What really matters in this life is seeking God, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We cannot let the cares and the troubles of this world get in the way of what really matters. And then the last remember phrase that I have is by verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And out to the side I have, remember to live for today. Not in the worldly sense of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, but in the spiritual sense. That this is all I have. Today is what I have. You know, I don't know if America will survive much longer as a nation, at least the nation that you and I know it as right now, what we grew up knowing it as. Things could change. I don't know what the future holds for the freedoms that we take for granted. All I have is right now, this moment. and are we making the most of it? Ephesians chapter 5. If you want to turn there, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." The days are evil. And we're truly living in times to where men call evil good and good evil, right? I mean, abortion is a great thing, right? That's a woman's right to choose, and man, that we're really advancing ourselves as a society. That's a great thing. But you let a group of kids get together and say a prayer before a sport, and that's evil. That's wrong. That's wrong, and we've got to have a separation there of church and state. We are truly living in evil times, where evil is good and good is evil. "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Are we redeeming the time? How do we do that? We redeem the time by understanding what the will of the Lord is. And how do we do that? By seeking His. How do we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness? By spending time in God's Word. "Don't worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, the King James Version says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." I'm going to grab a supplement real quick. We're going to sing number 28 out of the supplement, "For You Have Promised," number 28. No. He has promised you an inheritance like no other if you will hold fast to your faith. These unprecedented times should not come to us as a surprise as Christians. We've been told that we're going to endure trials and tribulation. If you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this inheritance, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Though we have not seen him, we can believe. We can receive the end result of our faith, the salvation of your soul. I'm going to sing number 413, I Believe in Jesus. believe in Jesus? Do you believe He is the Son of God? 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1 through verse 5 says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" As you might guess, we're going to sing number 576. Faith is the victory.
Encamped along the hills of mighty Christian soldiers, rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the golden skies. Against the bowing bells below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is a victory we know that overcomes the world.
This victory cannot be yours, though, if you're not in the kingdom of God. Belief is not enough, and we know that. As in James chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." And in John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43, we see many of the rulers believed in Jesus, but they would not confess Him out of fear and because they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. You must act on your belief. Putting on Christ, being buried with Him in baptism, and rising up, dead to sin, alive to Christ. Your faith, my faith, must be a faith that causes us to act. You can act on it tonight. After all, tonight is all we have. And what if that is really true? What if tonight is really all you have? You know, unfortunately, I have worked a number of fatality crashes in my time working the road as a law enforcement officer. And I remember my first fatality crash very well, although it was nearly 7 years ago. They tend to stick with you. But this one stands out. Maybe it was because it was the first one. But he was 22 years old. He was on his way to work early in the morning. He had a medical condition that we believe caused him to black out while he was driving down the road, and that caused him to crash. It was a Friday morning. He had an appointment for Monday morning to go see a doctor about his condition. His wife was 5 months pregnant with their first child. And they had just found out that Tuesday that it was a boy. And this Friday morning was his birthday. And the last text on his phone was from his mom. Happy birthday. I love you. If I've learned anything from working fatality crashes, it's just how fragile life is. We are here for a moment and gone the next. Death is not reserved for the old. You have right now. You have this moment. What will you do with it? What will you do with Jesus? If we can assist you in any way in making your life right with Christ, come forward now as together we stand and sing.
What will you do with Jesus? A question comes to you, and you must give an answer, for something you must do. What shall it be? What shall it be?
Please be seated.